Hey everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here with a very special Halloween treat here on Post Show Recaps. That's right, happy Halloween! Depending on when you're listening to this, we are releasing this podcast on Halloween 2020. No better time to wear a mask than Halloween 2020. And even if it's not Halloween when you are listening to this podcast, hopefully this is a podcast that is somewhat evergreen. What we're doing right now is we're pulling back the curtain on a thing we are doing on the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. We have the patron feed, the patron podcast feed created specifically for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, where we're doing a few exclusive shows a week. And I wanted to let you in on some of the shenanigans that are afoot in there, including the podcast that you're about to listen to called Post Show Recaps Theater. It's a weekly movie club where every week we are watching and talking about a different movie based on the votes of the patrons of Post Show Recaps. We kicked this whole thing off about a month ago now. Can you believe it? Hocus Pocus was the very first movie we talked about in Post Show Recaps Theater because it's spooky season, or it was spooky season, a very agreeable start to spooky season. And so this is the very first podcast that existed for spooky season. Not the very first Post Show Recaps Theater podcast of all. There was an episode zero featuring myself and my lovely co-host, my wife, Emily Fox, and she and I gave our origin of our story via the movies. Very cute little episode that also shows off the format that we do for Post Show Recaps Theater every single week. But this episode does that as well. And this episode is the first official movie that we talked about for Post Show Recaps Theater. So we wanted to release it from behind the paywall here for Halloween. In case you've been thinking about the Post Show Recaps Patreon, I know we talk about it a lot. It's because we want you to get in on the shenanigans. It's not just the Discord, which is super, super fun. And that's our social media community where we are all hanging out and having a blast talking about movies and TVs, etc. Heavy emphasis on the etc. sometimes. But also because I think that the podcasts that we are releasing in the patron feed are really, really fun. It's not just Post Show Recaps Theater every week. It's also the Community Building Podcast, which is our attempt at campaigning for an official community. The show podcast. So it is a podcast about a theoretical community podcast, which is about as community as it gets. And there is also the weekly Watching with Wiggler podcast, where I'm telling you what I'm watching. It's usually you and me, but mostly me is how I describe it, as I'm monologuing about what I'm watching, but occasionally featuring some special guests. You may hear from a special guest on that episode of Watching with Wiggler coming up here pretty soon. So that's what's going on here. It's a re-release for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. You've listened to this one, or you've been able to listen to this one before. If you are not a patron of Post Show Recaps yet, if you're thinking about it, if you want to know what kind of content you're getting at the very least one like 90-ish minute podcast per week about a different movie every single week. I think it's a steal. That's for $5. That's the monthly price. $5 for the Post Show Recaps patron feed. So if that sounds interesting to you, and if it sounds really interesting to you after listening to this special episode of Post Show Recaps Theater, available for everybody here in the main feed, Hocus Pocus, you can think about becoming a member of the Patreon proper. Go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Look around, feel around, see what you like, see what you're comfortable with, check it out, and sign up at whatever level is appropriate to you, even if that's no level, no harm, no foul. We'll get you eventually. I'm determined. No, all of the content that you love, it's still for free. There's just some extra goodies behind the paywall, and if you want to sign up and if you want to be part of the community, we highly encourage you to do it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. With all of that said, please enjoy this very special release of the first official movie from Post Show Recaps Theater, Hocus Pocus.
Post Show Recaps Theater presents Hocus Pocus, starring Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and the other one, also Thackeray Binks. Proper receptacles. Enjoy the show.
Excuse me, pardon me. Excuse me, so sorry. Excuse me, pardon me. He's just sorry, just gotta get to my seat. Excuse me. Oh, okay, alright. Emily, this way. Come on.
Oh my
Emily,
God.
Come on.
You're making a scene.
Emily, come on. Alright. Hey, stop laughing over there. I'm just trying to walk. Okay, hey, everybody. Josh Wigler here. It's the first full-fledged episode of Post-Show Recaps Theater here on the Post-Show Recaps patron feed. Emily Fox and I just settling into our seats.
Yeah. Just my feet stick to the floor. Yeah, it's great
little,
here.
It's a little crunchy. It's a little sticky. It's a little weird. Who's that laughing back there? Stop laughing at us. Who's that in the
Keep seat, it down.
Who's that in the row behind us? Wait a second. Is that...
I said be quiet.
Is that... Is that
they
Lee?
They call me Ice.
Is that Lee Ice McLaren in the row behind us? The first official guest of Post-Show Recaps Patron Theater. Wow,
it's me.
It's Lee, our first guest here on Post-Show Recaps Theater. As we're all about to talk about Hocus Pocus.
I got a jumbo bucket of popcorn, and I am ready to go.
Lee, I was about to ask, what kind of snacks are you packing? What did you bring to the theater?
I love popcorn. Popcorn's like my favorite snack. Mm-hmm. Just, almost like, ever.
In or out of the theater?
All the times.
Anywhere.
I just want to crunch on that popcorn. I think I like it because, you know, you have to have a bowl of it. No one's like, hey, have three popcorns. No,
yeah.
No. You gotta have a bowl.
That's a really good point.
Going.
Yeah.
Could you have like a cup of popcorn? I don't think that'd be satisfying. I guess it depends on the size of the cup.
Yeah, jumbo cup of popcorn.
I mean, I guess
a bucket,
like a big gulp of popcorn.
The
yeah.
biggest gulp.
Yeah, it's a hefty gulp of popcorn.
It's a good gulp.
Well, I'm glad somebody brought popcorn because this is a very important popcorn movie that we're about to talk about. Hocus Pocus, 1993's Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
As the very first entry here on Post-Show Recaps Theater, Emily Fox returning. I am back. Lee, you're christening the guest spot here.
I know. I'm so excited about
this.
Recaps,
this is a big deal.
Post-Show Recaps Theater, you're the first guest. Lee, you honored? Like, how do you feel? Like, overall, like, pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty great about it. I love the 90s, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
and takes place close to my hometown. You know, good old Massachusetts here.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling really good. It's like christening a new toilet, but like less gross.
It's a little less gross. I'm sorry that I had to work my way through the rows here as we were going in. But I mean, the theater's fairly packed. We've got a bunch of people here with us in Post-Show Recaps Theater. We opened the doors to the Post-Show Recaps patron program last week, and people are along for the ride. It's very exciting.
Come on in, guys. Come on in.
The water is warm. There's no water. It's just soda.
It's large blue icies.
Yes. Large blue icies. Anyone who doesn't know Lee McLaren does not listen to the Pen 15 podcast.
And that's
that
embarrassing for you.
It's a little bit difficult for you if you have not been listening to the Pen 15 podcast, because Lee is on there killing it every single week.
Yeah. You're getting good feedback, my friend.
Oh, the people, they love me.
Lee, one of the great podcasters here on Post-Show Recaps, LaTanya Starks, was fanning out pretty hard for you in the Post-Show Recaps Discord.
Correct.
Earlier today.
Oh, wow. LaTanya, I fan for you, girl.
Yeah.
I stand for you, as they can say. I stand for you, with you, about you.
I stand for you. I stand with you.
I stand.
It's Stan, bro.
Yeah.
But we're gonna sit down. We're gonna settle into our seats because we could spend a lot of time.
The previews are
here.
About to start.
We could spend a lot of time here patting ourselves on the back for a launch well done. So I am gonna
for a lunch
sit here
well done.
For just
oh, I love a good lunch.
Just a second. I am just gonna bask in it a little bit.
I'm really hungry right now. This is a weird time.
I could go for lunch.
I know, right? I could nosh.
Yeah.
Well, we've got that popcorn. We've got the popcorn popping. Lee, for those who do not know, Lee is one of Emily Fox's very best and oldest friends.
That's correct.
You guys go
young
a ways back. Young at heart. Lee and Emily went to high school together.
Yes.
Once upon a time, as Lee mentions, both of you in a small town, Massachusetts.
Yes.
So very close to the Salem setting here of the Hocus Pocus. Lee, any movie theater stories that you'd like to share either about yourself
or Emily Fox before we begin?
Oh, man.
That's a great question. Well, you know, Em and I have seen many movies. I think the one that sticks out the most is probably A Walk to Remember.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Which this was so dangerous. Absurd, and everybody was crying except for a good friend of ours who was laughing. She was like, what? It's funny. I was like, it's funny. She's dying. And then there was a time Emily and I saw The Notebook. She would stop crying for like 3 hours afterwards. We were supposed to hang out, but I just didn't know what to do.
I know. Drove you home bawling.
I was just like, I guess I'll just go.
Yeah, you were like, I'm going to let you collect your thoughts. This seems like a lot for you.
I see that you're still upset 90 minutes later. Yeah. I'm not sure what to do. I'm sweating.
I got to go.
Later.
Yeah.
And I am often sweating, but this was a lot for
this
both of us.
This was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Lee, you enjoy going to the movies. You know, when that was a thing, certainly the drive-thru option is available right now, but are you a fan of going and seeing a movie?
The drive-in option.
Yeah, you don't really want to.
So fast.
That person just blazed through the screen. Yeah, it just drove right through.
Yes.
What a plot.
I love the movies. I love a good drive-in. I got to see my favorite movie at the drive-in this summer, which is Jaws, a Spielberg classic.
Ooh.
You know, it's really wet. And so I really like sharks. Sharks are really cool. Like, I like to nerd out over.
Water's warm and Jaws.
You're a big fan of Shark Week.
I'm a big fan of Shark Week.
Yeah.
Any bad shark movie, B to E level, give it to me.
What is it? The Meg?
Oh, The Meg is not B level. That is rude. I'm talking like Sharks in Venice starring one of the Baldwins.
The Meg is like a top tier shark movie?
I mean, it's certainly not Jaws level by any means of the imagination. But like when we're looking at Deep Blue Sea, and
I was just going to say,
like,
the one with LL Cool J.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. LL, I love you, buddy. What up?
Austin Powers is a great shark movie. The sharks with the lasers on their heads.
Sure, yeah, laser sharks. Yeah.
Oh wait, no, they didn't have those. They had the porpoises.
I thought it was sea bass.
It is the porpoises.
Sea bass.
That eat was it?
I feel like you would know. Do you guys know that all through high school, Emily Fox had life-size cutout?
The nickname Seabass? Yeah, I did just hear this.
Oh, no, she didn't. But she had a life-size Austin Powers in her room that scared me, obviously, in the dark sometimes. You guys know. If you listen to Pen 15.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. So... something's happening right now. I think you're about to be, it's about to be revealed that perhaps
still kicking.
Austin Powers is in this room with us.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, I mean, the best thing about him is the fact that he is
back into the seat.
God, quiet down.
Sorry.
You're making
so disruptive.
I'm just a wide load. It's just a little hard for me to get back to my seat.
Beep, okay. Beep.
All right. Yeah, no. People who have seen me on live video podcasts over the last year or so have are very hip to the Austin Powers cutout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was like, oh, thank God you were taking this out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
We did not want this.
20 years later.
Yeah.
AP is...
I lied to her about how I bought that, too. I was like, oh, yeah, it was like $20. It was like $100.
Not. Oh, guys, be
was
quiet.
Was that Spencer
Sorry.
Gifts?
Yeah, well, it was like a
come
Spencer's.
On, the lights are turning off. The coming attractions are about to start. It's coming attractions time.
This is a very pushy agenda.
Time for the coming attractions. Lee here on Poster Recaps Theater. For the coming attractions segment, before we start talking about the movie, we're going to talk about the movies that may or may not be coming up next week on Post Show Recaps Theater.
Oh.
So do you know how the movies are selected for Post Show Recaps Theater? Because if you don't, I could tell you.
Why don't you tell me?
I'm going to tell you how this works. Okay, so here's how it works. So I get to suggest a movie. Mm-hmm. Emily Fox gets to suggest a movie.
Do I our get to
guest,
suggest one?
Our guest from the coming week, the week ahead, who's going to be joining us next week, gets to suggest a movie for their episode. And Lee, there's a mystery item. And the way that the mystery item works is that the exiting guest from any given podcast comes up with a suggestion for a movie. Don't tell us what it is. Lock it in on your end. Mm-hmm. And if that mystery item gets picked, because we are going to turn the choice to the listeners of this podcast, they get to vote for which movie they want us to watch on Post Show Recaps Theater. If the mystery item gets flipped, then it's your pick. It's the one that you chose.
That's so complicated.
It's a little complicated. will it last?
Maybe I should just pick them all.
Will it last? I don't know. These are the results from the poll for last week. This is we're gonna announce which movie we are watching
next week.
Okay. It is a two-way tie at the bottom of the four options.
I'm offended that more people didn't pick my choice.
So I guess I'm spoiling it. The Craft shall not be the movie we are talking about next week.
I'm upset.
Sure, Emily picked The Craft. You know what? Listen, we've got witchcraft to discuss this week.
I know. Maybe
Hocus
it was
Pocus.
A little too witchcraft heavy.
Too witchy.
We just talked witchcraft on the Hocus on the Pen 15 podcast recently.
It's a lot.
Wendy Rochelle Vacani. So it's a lot of witchcraft going on recently. You're not alone. There were other people who were upset. The great Brooklyn Zed, very upset that there wasn't enough love for The Craft.
Sorry, Zed.
It's a bummer. Tied with The Craft. That was 8% of the vote for The Craft. 8% also went to Trick or Treat. the voters said, "Smell my feet" to Trick or Treat.
They sure did.
That was
voting in action right here.
That was next week's guest. Kevin Mahadeo is going to be on the podcast. He selected Trick or Treat. It did not go forward. Kevin was in the Discord championing for Trick or Treat, even though he knew it was a losing battle. And he said, "It's probably too late to sway the vote, but I chose Trick or Treat and I have to advocate for it. It's incredible. It's an extremely well done horror anthology film with a star-filled cast. And most importantly, it's way scarier than Scream, which is another option, and The Craft. And I want to see Josh cowering behind his hands, but even if it doesn't, even if it doesn't make it, high recommend for me to watch it during October. Might be difficult to find, but it's worth it. So Trick or Treat is not making it. It's a closer competition at the top.
Yes.
Between Scream, which was my choice, and The Mystery Item.
Which is a mystery.
Correct.
The winner
won't say.
The winner with 51% of the vote, and the film we will be watching next week on Post Show Recaps Theater. It's Scream. We're gonna watch Scream. We're watching Scream.
And that's an iconic popcorn movie.
We're watching Scream.
So wait, I don't get to pick a movie?
No, you will have. You will have your chance.
You get it.
Later in the podcast.
Right.
You're going to get to pick a movie. The mystery item, and the way that we determined what the mystery item would be for this week's podcast was the polls were starting to get very close at one point where there was a lot of chaotic momentum behind the mystery item.
Oh, wow.
And there was a point in time where it seemed like the mystery item was going to win. And I walked into the kitchen and said, "Emily, I think the mystery item is going to win," which means we need to figure out what the mystery item is.
Yeah.
And Emily, without missing a beat, said, "Freddy versus Jason." And then I looked at her and I go,
"Is that the one where they're in space?"
No, that's Jason in space.
Obviously.
God, get it together.
And so then I said to Emily, "Okay, that's the mystery item." And Emily immediately was like, "No." I was like, "But you suggested it. And the fact that you are saying no means it's definitely the mystery item. Definitely the mystery item. Definitely the right way
to go." Okay, so do you want to hear the story behind it?
Yeah.
Really quick, of Freddy versus Jason.
I didn't realize there was one.
Yeah. The reason.
Yeah.
The reason I, it's like so, like, I don't know, front of mind is that we had this happen freshman year of college. My roommate Lara had her individual internet connection shut off by the tech, like, people. Uh-oh. And they were like, "Well, you're actually going to be under review for illegal downloading. So you've lost access." Yeah. I mean, all of us did, right?
We didn't LimeWire.
Yeah. But they did a digital discovery on her computer. And they were like, "See, you downloaded Freddy versus Jason. Like, we have to shut this off." And she was like, "Excuse me?"
Someone had access to Lara's computer.
I would never watch that. And I was like, yeah, that's like the best case scenario for like fighting this and like your weird little like, I don't know. They had like a tech like ticket open for it. And she like wrote back and was like, I would never watch this film.
This is trash.
Yeah, this is trash. Please reinstate my internet. And like a day later, they were like, we're really sorry. Like, here you go.
I mean, I'd be upset too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, get out of here.
Yeah. And it was like in the depths of her hard drive, like obviously like auto installed by like some weird virus or something like that. But it was so funny. We were always like, man, your favorite movie, Freddy versus Jason. And she was like, I'm never going to watch that. Stop talking about it.
I hate you guys.
Yeah, pretty much. Then she lived with me the next 3 years after that. So,
and we watched Freddy versus Jason every Halloween.
No, we didn't.
Every single
no accounting for taste.
Every single Halloween. So Freddy vs. Jason was almost next week's movie. It is not. Freddy vs. Jason is shelved for the time being. Lee, later on, I'm going to ask you to fill in the new mystery item. Okay?
But
I don't want you to reveal it to us on this podcast. I'll ask you for some clues. If you can give us some clues, we'll do that at the end of the podcast. So that's where your mystery item is going to come in.
Thinking about
and then
it.
If your mystery item wins the poll, then I'll say, hey, Lee, what did you pick? And then you'll be like, yeah, Dances with Wolves or whatever.
Red Dawn.
Whatever it is, as long as it's spooky themed, if it's appropriate for the Halloween season, that's what we're looking for, okay?
Red Dawn's pretty spooky.
Anything scary, anything spooky is what we're looking for.
Everybody knows that scary movies are really my forte.
Yeah, exactly. You love a scary movie.
Yeah, I have one.
You love scary movies like you love bowling.
Do you like bowling?
I don't.
Oh. No.
Well, all right.
So how dare you? So that's in her bio.
So let's get into this. It's showtime.
She loves scary movies like mini golf.
Let's talk about the reason that people are here. The coming attractions are over. It's time to talk about Hocus Pocus, 1993's Hocus Pocus, Kenny Ortega directed film.
Sure.
Great Thackeray Binks is here. Yes. And Max Dennison, and Danny Dennison, and Allison, and
Bette her yabos,
Miller, Bette Midler,
and her yabos,
and so. Yabo Dabo Do. Yeah, so here we are.
Oh my God.
I can't right now.
Talking Hocus P, which as
who we breathe?
It's Hocus P.
Josh is embarrassing me.
And
we gotta get out of here. We're gonna leave this theater.
No, you can't leave. We paid. We paid to be here.
Okay, sorry.
We paid to be here. This is a movie that I have like almost no nostalgia for, but I know that this is a movie that tons of people do have nostalgia for, and I suspect that is the case for you, Lee. I know it's the case for Emily Fox.
You know, funny enough, I don't have the nostalgia that other people did because when I watched this, when it came out at age 7, I was terrified, obviously, par for the course. And I was like, better not watch this again. So it was a long time before I could watch it again, you know, and I just got to tell you, man, Sarah Jessica Parker out there singing her song really stressed me out. I was like, what if... Not only, first of all, I'm really upset that like when the kids go out to like try and get caught by the witches, none of them have washed. They're all still wearing their costumes. I'm very upset about that. I'm like, where are your parents? Why didn't they make you wash?
Their parents have been possessed. Bette Midler put a spell on them.
Town
and now
hall,
they're
dancing around.
They did dance.
They're
I thought
up all
LA
night.
Was a party town.
Yeah.
Great one-liners. Great
what's
one-liners
up, Hollywood?
There.
Yeah.
What's up, Hollywood? Nice shoes. Let me see those. Take them off. Very scary stuff. So you don't have like the bone deep. This was like your movie as a kid.
No, I don't have the like deep soul feelings for this. But you know, I probably you know said, all right, Lee, we're stop being scared now. Maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, and started. You know, I watched again, and I was like, all right. This isn't so scary. So I guess I'll just watch it a few more times.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Billy the zombie got his head cut off the second time, and you were just like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
So Billy, whenever, oh my God.
Whenever I see a manhole, I always think of the zoom in of his fingers.
Oh, yeah, getting crunched
And I think
off.
About people that have to work in manholes, and
Don't
I'm like,
keep
nope.
saying manholes.
I'm sorry.
It's scary to be in the sewers. You don't want to be.
Yeah.
There's the old Ninja Turtles.
There's Ninja Turtles down
guys.
There. There's a zombie who's getting
yeah,
his
you rarely find
off.
Anything good in a sewer, do
you? You don't.
Yeah.
No one's
yeah.
like, hey, I found this gold brick in a sewer. Oh, they did. didn't.
Yeah, I mean, if there were reports of gold bricks in sewers, we'd be going down there more often, I think.
It's just gross.
Yeah, I was in the sewer the other day. I struck gold. You don't really hear that very often.
No, it's usually a river of slime.
It's a river of slime. Emily Fox, you do have the Hocus Pocus nostalgia. Yes. Chart us through that journey for you.
I first watched it at a sleepover, and it didn't scare me. And we all got in a fight throughout the film.
Mm-hmm. Why?
As to whether it was Zachary Binks or Thackeray Binks.
That is completely understandable, because who the hell is named Thackeray?
I never heard of it. Yeah, that seems like a made-up name from a made-up time.
Side Thackeray or side Zachary?
I was like, it's Zachary, let's be real here. And then
like
at the
Zachary
end,
Ty Bryant?
Yeah, Zachary Taylor.
The voice of Rafiki. And
Zachary freaking Taylor.
Zachary freaking Taylor.
Those cherries and milk. All right.
So you got into a fight about Thackeray or Zachary.
Yeah, and at the end, when, you know, it shows the list of credits, everybody was like, I told you it was Thackeray. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, facts for nothing.
Binks out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Binks out.
But I always loved the movie. I remember thinking it was really pretty cool because it mixed supernatural with like a style that was very Massachusetts that I loved, because I was like, this happened so close, right?
This could happen to me.
I could be Danny. Honestly, and have a hot older brother.
It's a story that you were Emily.
You were like,
it's
oh,
a story
God,
that could happen
Emily.
Anywhere.
I know. I was like, Josh, do you feel great about the fact that the first word in this movie is my name?
And I was like, Emily. To be honest, I have no reaction to that.
You were like, I hate this.
No, I didn't hate this at all. It was the 80s.
A lot of people were named Emily.
I know. I was named after my great grandmother. My mom really thought it was like a cool thing to do. And then like the first day of kindergarten, she was like, oh, awesome. Everyone else is named Emily.
Now, Lee, I assume you mean the 1680s, because that is when Emily Binks is born.
It's an old fashioned name, so that works. Don't know where we went.
It's the 1680s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is a movie that had like, there's like a big, you know, a huge cult quality to this movie.
Oh, God,
like, this is a movie that people, speaking of theaters and stuff, right now, I believe.
It's playing in Secaucus.
Well, it's playing in a few movies.
Secaucus?
Let's get down to Secaucus. The theater industry is not doing great right now, as many industries are not. And Hocus Pocus is actually, I believe, coming out of this past weekend, was number one at the box office.
Stop it.
Not kidding.
You know, I heard they were going to make a Hocus Pocus 2. Is that just lies and witchery?
No, I believe that is much like the Black Flame candle. It's real.
Wow. It's a virgin.
Much like the Black Flame candle, Hocus Pocus 2 is real, but it can only be activated by a virgin.
Sure.
Many virgins will line up to see Hocus Pocus 2 at some point in the future.
All the virgins. Let's sing to the virgins.
Including all three of us. We'll be there too. We'll be there.
I Want to Sex You Up by Calling Me Bad. That's what brings the virgins in.
No, they are making a sequel or a reboot. I don't know if it's going to be a reboot or a sequel. I'm not sure. The way that the movie ends,
who's coming back for it?
Doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for
if no one comes back for it, I am not on board.
You know, the Sanderson sisters are very dead. Yes, the book is ready.
Josh was really upset about the book.
The book is ready.
It really disturbed
him. Well, it was gross. It was weird that the book had its eye.
Well, it was nasty.
The truth is, Lee, it was a little nasty that the book had the eye open.
Do you think as the book's aged, it's needed a monocle to be able to read?
I think that, for the sequel, for sure. For the sequel, for sure. Yeah. Time has passed. Decades have passed. It's going to need an upgrade for its vision. It's going to have a hard time.
But yeah, you're not an eye guy, so
no, I'm not
I didn't
an eye
think
guy.
About that until it started.
No, yeah. I love
doesn't
eyes.
Like
I love
his own
mine.
Eyes at all.
No contact, please. No touching. No touching the eyes.
Okay. Nobody touched the eye, though.
No, but I was afraid that someone would, because like there were times where Bette Midler, where Winnie Sanderson kept being like, oh, my book, and just like stroking it and patting it and getting way too close to the eye. for me. Sure. And also, storm. Like, there were times that I was worried throughout the movie. I was like, are they going to, like, have to kill the book, like the Chamber of Secrets, and, like, stab the eye with, like, a serpent's tongue or whatever?
Okay.
A serpent's tongue?
I know that's not it. It's the tooth. It's a tooth. But I was nervous.
The serpent's like...
tasty treat. But I was worried. That should speak to the fact that for me, I had seen Hocus Pocus before, but it was a real tell that, like, I had probably only seen Hocus Pocus in its entirety once, and then only in, like, bits and pieces in pop culture awareness, that when the moment came for Thora Birch to say, yeah, he really loves your yabos, that didn't hit for me, because I didn't know what that was, but that is clearly, like, you walk away from Hocus Pocus and, like, yabos is a word for boobs.
It's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's so embarrassing it's not part of your vernacular.
I didn't know.
You're a boy. You should know this.
Well,
yeah,
this
yobs for short.
Yeah. Learned about yobs today after
sweet
watching Hocus P.
Hocus P has some sweet yobs.
Hocus P. 10 out of 10 on the yobs. I'd seen content.
Yabos by then.
Lee, I don't know. This comes out in 1993, so I'm 8 years old at this point.
Yeah,
July
16th, 7 or 8,
1993, 8 years old. I have an older brother who's 10 years old. I'm pretty sure I've seen yabos at this point.
Really?
I would guess that I've seen yabs at this point, and if not, then I'm only like a year away at the max, Denison.
365 days till yabs.
So I'm getting close. I'm closing in on the yabs at that point. But like that speaks to like I had seen like scary stuff at that point. I'd seen like movies that were not meant for my 8 year old eyes at that point.
Mostly Pacino, are we thinking?
No Pacinos.
No Pacinos.
At that point. No, maybe because I'd seen Dick Tracy, maybe if Dick Tracy was
He tried to get me to watch Dick Tracy the other day, and I was like, absolutely not.
It's a Pacino for Pacino completionists.
We got like 20 minutes in, and I was like, this is not hamming
my sandwich.
This is not what I want to watch.
I must have seen Hocus Pocus when it came out, because we as a family would go and see movies all the time. It was a thing that we did. But I just don't really have like the big fondness for it, but I'm obviously aware of the huge cultural impact it's made because
everybody talks about it.
Yeah. Anytime October rolls around, they're talking about Hocus Pocus. They're losing their mind for Hocus P. And Emily and I,
their yobs are on fire just thinking about Hocus
P. Like Madonna. a few years ago, Emily and I went to like. There was like a
viewing party.
There was like a Hocus Pocus watch along where like people were like. They were like acting out Hocus Pocus.
It's like Rocky Horror?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It was like sort of like what
you watched the movie, and then there were like interstitial live action parts
like
to it.
People were like acting out Hocus Pocus with the thing on in the background. But it was at a bar where it was just like super packed. Untenable in today's time.
And they weren't mic'd well.
They weren't mic'd well.
What are we doing?
There were no seats. Everyone was standing.
So
and so if you're a short person like myself, you weren't seeing
and
the
myself.
Stage. And yourself.
Yeah, not Emily, though.
No, Emily is like only half inch taller than me, so it wasn't great for her either.
But I look taller, right?
You do.
You're so tall.
Emily presents as tall.
6'2".
Emily presents a 6'2 personality, I think.
That's right.
But like the fact that even existed, that this thing like this like open mic night Hocus Pocus thing or whatever like exists, is like, okay, this movie's a deal for sure.
And I mentioned last week, I get invited to a Hocus Pocus viewing party every year.
Every year.
Do you go every year?
No, I've never been actually.
No, I've never gone. Thanks for asking. Yeah.
I got invited this year and I was like, Chris, is this a good idea? Like,
no.
Yeah.
It's
but
not.
you talk to your friend Chris all the time in Hocus Pocus language. I feel like you're constantly quoting it. Like I'm constantly hearing the two of you going, sisters.
Nothing about
sisters?
That.
No, Chris always looks at me and goes, thank you, Max, for that marvelous introduction.
He does say that. I've seen him
he
say
does that to me all the time.
And then I watched Bette Midler say that in the movie.
And
thank you,
like,
Max,
oh,
for that
Chris.
Marvelous introduction. And I was like, oh, that's what that's from.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what that's
I get
from.
It now.
So my experience of watching the movie was a lot of, oh, okay.
Yeah, connecting
oh,
the dots.
Oh, got it.
So like, which Sanderson sister are you, Josh?
Probably
Kathy Najimy.
So am I, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm probably Sarah Jessica Parker, right?
You are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I'm like the hot one.
You are. Yeah. You are. You are.
Yeah. I've seen you ride on a bus driver's lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. You guys can divide Winnie and Mary however you see fit. I'm going to be Sarah Sanderson.
Okay.
Lee, there was a moment in watching the movie early on when they talk, when they're like about to execute the Sanderson sisters, and they're like,
sure.
It's time to execute the Sanderson sisters, or whatever it is they say. And it's like, are they the Thanderson sisters? Like, I really thought that they said Thanderson.
Thackeray and the Thanderson sisters.
Like, I really thought that that's where they were going.
Oh my God.
That's too much.
I will say that if I hadn't seen some of the things that I had seen at the time of Hocus Pocus, I bet this movie would have rocked me. Yeah. Like, I
just
understand
like a straight
this movie.
Hanging, like, five minutes in.
I understand this movie rocking people. Yeah, they execute the witches. They hang right them the to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, Josh, spoiler alert, 1600s, they did that.
I was just about to find out about the 1600s. We're not there yet. I wasn't there yet in my history book.
Before you go to bed, you have like 10th grade history. Put a fuck in that. Yeah. 1589, I'm getting there.
I'm almost there. I'm just 11 years away. Give me some time. I've been working my way through. It's been a long quarantine.
Almost to that new world. We're gonna get there.
We'll get there.
What's the third one?
We'll get there. That's how I feel about the Sanderson sisters. Who's the third one? I always forget. Mary with her vacuum cleaner.
The Santa Maria.
But it's not even the execution of the three witches at the start. It's what the three witches are doing. They're drinking the ethereal essence of Emily, the little girl.
I mean, it's classic Hansel and Gretel, though.
While this little Ichabod Crane kid is like trying to save his sister and like climbing up the windmill or whatever. The whole opening scene is just like very, very intense with Thackeray trying to save Emily.
I mean, now as an adult person, I look at it and I'm like, Timothy McGee, NCIS. Oh, what a start you had.
So I had to do some research here. So Sean Murray, lifelong.
For $500,000 patrons, my face is like exploding like the emoji right now.
Emily's losing it.
That is crazy. That's why that guy's always looked so familiar.
Yeah. How did you not know that? So I don't know.
So Sean Murray
is the actor. He's not looking at Mark Harmon.
Sean Murray
so
is
the always.
Sean Murray plays Thackeray Binks. He's been on CSI since the start. NCIS. I always
NCIS. NCIS.
Now, Emily, you ready for me to blow your mind a little bit further?
You've talked to him, haven't you? You've met him.
No, you haven't.
I've met Thackeray Binks.
What?
I've interviewed
He went to New Orleans and talked to the cast like 3 years ago.
I went to New Orleans.
But it wasn't NCIS New Orleans.
Well, hear this. For work, a few years ago, about 5 years ago, I went, it wouldn't have been 5 years ago, it would have been 3-4 years ago, something like that. Anyway, a few years ago, went to New Orleans to the set of NCIS New Orleans for a crossover episode between NCIS and NCIS New Orleans, in which two characters from NCIS Prime were appearing on NCIS New Orleans, including
Scott
Fez himself. Wilmer Valderrama was there.
Oh, yeah. And he's on NCIS.
And Sean Murray, who plays Timothy McGee, was part of this this one and only NCIS New Orleans episode that he was in. And it is only now, all these years later, that I'm realizing that I was sitting across from the one and only Thackeray Binks.
One, that's not fair. Two,
that's not fair.
That's not fair. Dude, those are two things I love. A cop procedural and New Orleans. Why did I not know about this?
I had no idea that you were to standing LaTanya, that you stan NCIS.
Oh, gosh. You know, my favorite is NCIS Los Angeles, because everybody knows how much, you know, I really enjoy LL Cool J. Shout out, buddy.
Todd.
But you almost met him.
I don't want to talk about it because I was so close yet so far.
I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. Really, we don't need to talk about it.
But I had this epiphany last night because I was looking up the cast. I was like, this Thackeray Binks must have done stuff. This is who I thought the other day.
Does he have a goatee now?
The other day I thought he was Devon Sawa. I was like, isn't Devon Sawa Thackeray Binks? And then you guys got mad at me.
So embarrassing for you.
I'm glad to know that there was a real famous person behind Thackeray Binks after all.
Have you met Scott Bakula?
Yeah, I interviewed him there.
I always thought
I always thought Bacula was a great last name.
It's pretty
good. Obviously.
It's
because it rhymes with Dracula.
Yeah, I'm really...
Scott Bacula.
I can't believe this. This is unreal.
I'm really cool. I'm really cool. I've met a few cool people. It's not that big of a deal, but like,
we're number one, though.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
All right, so let's move along.
All right, sorry.
Without addressing that.
Still mad, though.
So the majority of the movie, after we leave this like horrific period in the 1690s, where poor Sean Murray from NCIS as a boy gets turned into a cat. And there was a great moment, Lee, where I turned to Emily. I go, is the cat going to be like a puppet for most of the movie or a real cat? She's like, it's a real cat. And so she says, it's going to be a real cat for most of the movie. That cat is a puppet for like the entirety of the movie.
It's like CGI'd.
Well, maybe like a little bit of a CGI. It's certainly not a real cat.
It's not like Salem from like Sabrina the Teenage Witch. That's what I thought you meant.
It's honestly not that far. It's not that far off, I feel like. It's fairly close.
I remember.
So different.
So this is a side story, but in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, they changed the type of puppet they were using. So like Salem looked one way for like the first season. And then they were like, we got to beef up the Salem puppet. Sure. And I remember being like, he looks very different now and I don't feel great about it.
It's like replacing one of the moms in a sitcom. Like you can't replace the talking cat.
We're looking at you, Fresh Prince.
It's like Salem passed away in between seasons and they needed to get a new cat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, except
why
it was
did
a
you
puppet.
Have to do that?
And they're
why
like,
you have
this
to say
is
that?
This is Salem. It's been Salem the whole time.
All right, let's talk about Binks.
But I know. So Binks has now been he's been blessed or cursed with immortality as a cat for like hundreds of years. For 300 years he's going to be a cat, and he can't, no matter what he does, he lives forever.
You were really upset about him getting run over.
He gets run over by a car, by the bus.
You were surprised.
With the super pervy bus driver. Who,
speed bump.
When Winnie's like, we're looking for children. We want children. And the bus driver's like, I might not get it on the first shot, but I'll definitely get it there. It's like, wow.
Were you
racy.
So upset? It was the 90s.
It was racy. I liked it.
Classic
liked it.
Salem bus driver.
No, I thought that
classic.
Was great.
I was like, are there buses in Salem?
I know. I was trying to figure that out, too, because the actual geography of Salem is really confusing and super narrow because, like, those streets have been the same since the 1600s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could get
so
lost there.
All of Massachusetts.
Since
I know,
1693 until they started paving the black rivers everywhere. it's solid. When the bus drove over Thackeray Binks, I was like, what the are you serious? You're just going to run over the cat.
What is this?
And then Thackeray Binks may as well like stuffed like the thumb of his paw into his mouth and like reinflated himself. He's like, I'm fine. I can't die.
I hate when that happens.
It's like, oh man, Thackeray Binks, that sucks that you can't die. But the majority of the movie, and we move on to the 1990s, it's 1993, and Max Hollywood Dennison is the new kid in school, and he's trying to throw the Mac at Allison, not Mac. Who is played by actress Vanessa Shaw. And that's Vanessa with an I where that first A ought to be.
Vanessa?
Vanessa Shaw. Vanessa Shaw. And she's like,
choice.
Don't denigrate Halloween. Halloween's the best.
Yeah.
Halloween is a scary holiday and you should be afraid of it.
And look at my red cape as I run away.
So he tries to give her his number. She's like, no. That's cool, but I'm going to give it back to you. So I appreciate that Max, new kid in school, he's just like throwing everything at the wall. He's like, what do I got to lose? I don't like it here. Let's just give it a whirl. He's like, 17, right? 17,
no,
18.
No, I think he's like 14.
Yeah, he's like 14.
14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These people
like
are like shaming him for being a virgin. He's a 14-year-old.
I mean,
I don't know why anyone would do that.
Yeah. Hey.
You're literally on another podcast with us where we talk about how terrible teenagers
What's
are.
The big idea?
Although, let's be honest, I'm gonna be honest and say bullies peaked in the 90s. Bullies peaked in the 90s.
Mm. Like as far as like the creativity or sort of like the ubiquitousness of the bullies?
Just the hilariousness of it all. The fact that bullies are so like exactly what they're gonna say. They're not gonna say anything like too offensive, but somehow every time someone's so upset,
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I feel good about bullies in the 90s.
I feel like a 90s movie. A 90s movie bully
a movie
or TV
bully. Yeah.
Bully.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking.
Not a real bully.
I'm looking at. Help! I'm looking at, like, Bulk and Skull from Power Rangers.
Sure.
Like, those were the bullies, but they were really just the outsiders. And I think that there's, like, a version of this movie where Jay and Ice are the good guys. Like, I think that there, you could flip Hocus Pocus. And you could watch from their perspective and the broken homes from which they stem.
Sure.
We spend a lot of time in their, like, Hansel and Gretel situation.
I love how you just said Hansel.
Hansel. So hot Hansel. Right now. So Hansel. Hot right now. But it's hard to empathize with them when they're literally mugging Max in a graveyard for his shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's uncool.
Also, why don't they just take his bike? I always have wondered that. Like, they take his shoes, but they don't take his bike.
They don't take his bike. They should have taken the bike.
Like, what?
They didn't take his bike. That seems like a rookie move. This is why I'm saying, like, they can't be that bad. Like,
especially since only one of them gets to wear the shoes. Someone else, like, the other one should take the bike, right?
Yeah. One takes a bike.
I mean, it would make sense.
One takes the shoes. Yeah.
They only want cash or shoes.
Maybe they're like, oh, he's not going to be able to get home if we take his bike. You know, see, like.
why do you have such strong feelings for Jay and Ice?
I don't know. You're the one who said the bullies are cool.
I mean,
I just think
a 90s bully is just really, like, in the box. You know what you're getting every time. They're probably going to have a dumb laugh. I feel okay about it, you know?
Yeah.
There's
a
nothing
dumb haircut,
weird. I don't feel
haircut,
emotional about it.
A dumb haircut with Ice shaved into the back of your hair. Oh, yeah, Lee, I did want to ask you, what are your thoughts on Max's haircut? Because I know you've said on the Pen 15 podcast
no,
that
I really like it.
as a youth, Lee was always in on
it's right up your alley.
All the kids
it
with the
is
mushroom
up
cuts.
My alley.
Yeah. Listen, a good mushroom.
And it was a good, like, flowing one too, which I absolutely loved. And you know, I watched the movie the other day and I was like, you know, I definitely would have been. I was into Max when I was younger, but Max's dad is kind of hot now. And I was like, "Oh
yeah,
God,
Max's
I'm so old.
Dad was always Max's dad was always kind of good looking."
Oh, you mean Charles Rocket? Charles
his
Rocket.
His name's
was,
Charles
was,
Rocket.
Was the name of the actor?
Really?
His name was Charles.
So, like,
Rocket.
What you're asking really is, would I let Max touch my yabos? And I'd think about it.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
I'd think about it.
All right.
Back in the day, we're talking, of course, times have changed.
You know, wait, what?
You know, not now.
We mean
not
when
now.
I was seven? No, you pervert.
No, robbing the this is
you
robbing
pervert.
The cradle. It's not. It would not.
Well,
be
how
good.
Old is he?
Omri
Katz. How old are you?
Well, Omri Katz is now who plays Max Dennison is 44 years old.
He's retired.
He's a retired actor. His last credit, 2002's Journey into Night, a short film.
Sure. He was in one. Freaks and Geeks?
For an episode
really?
called Tests
one
and
episode.
Yabos. I mean, Tests and Breasts is the name. that was the episode that he was
Oh, my God.
So he's very mad. He's now without his shoes.
Sure. He has a wet sock. Everybody hates a wet sock.
It's Halloween. All he wants to do is play his drums and hump his pillow. that scene lingers for, like, another, like, 30 seconds and it gets bad. It gets very strange. But Thora Birch is hiding in the closet. Danny bursts out. Halloween, take me trick-or-treating. She's already dressed up like a witch. She's ready to go. So Max does take Danny trick-or-treating and it goes pretty poorly at first. There's some crying. There's some tears.
so many tears.
There's more mugging. Max gives up, like, a full bag of candy to Bulk and Skull. And then they wind up at Allison's house, because Allison's family, I guess they're loaded, and they're
totally
like the.
Loaded.
I love how they're like, "This is a nice house." Yeah. And I'm like,
they're like the toast of Salem.
I know, and I'm like, it looks like a pretty normal house for that area. I don't know,
but, like, can I tell you how jealous I've always wanted to go? This is so terrible, but I've always wanted to dress up as Scarlett O'Hara for Halloween one time, and I'm like very jealous of all their costumes. Because you know I'm trying to get a hoop skirt, you know?
Well, a really amazing
thing
happened.
Should we dress up as like
it's
a...
It's so awful. It's
like
so awful.
Felicity from American Girl Dolls? Like, that's era, right?
Yeah. No, that's a little earlier. I think Felicity is Revolutionary War. So that it would be more... I think Scarlett O'Hara is more like Civil War.
No, Antebellum, fact, for sure,
I'm very well aware of that, but I feel like there's a lot of things we don't want to get into. you know, that along with dressing up like you own a plantation. So I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right.
No, it's okay. All right. It's all right.
We can leave it.
Back to the witches. Back to hanging women for being outspoken.
Let's leave it at Allison's house where she is leaving candy duty to go and hang out with Max and Danny, her new best friends.
Did you say duty?
Yeah, you said duty.
Come on. Come on. Are you guys kidding me?
This is how you treat me?
It's a word.
It's a word.
So she leaves her job at the candy station.
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
I feel good about it.
Okay.
Do you feel like she kind of like phoned it in with her hairstyle for this particular costume?
Carefully. This is a trap. So Emily pointed out to me. Emily pointed out to me at one point that after they leave her house and she's no longer wearing her Halloween clothes because she's changed out of her costume, she's wearing like this gray sweater and a plain t-shirt and jeans. And Emily goes, "That's my style icon. I dress exactly like her." And it's absolutely true. Yeah, the way that Allison is dressed in this movie.
I'm literally dressed like that right now.
She's literally wearing a gray sweater. Emily is wearing a gray sweater.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Maybe a pair of chunky boots.
Yeah, I love that. Boots?
No, not she's right wearing sneakers, she's just wearing sneakers. But that's what you dress up like an Allison.
I do.
Yeah,
you're absolutely. A total Allison. Mm-hmm. Total Allison. They go to like, "Hey, you want to check out the Sanderson house? You don't believe in Halloween? Let me show you some spooky stuff." And they go to the Sanderson house, and there's all the spooky stuff, and there's the black flame candle that if you light with one of the many Zippo lighters, these antique Zippo lighters that are just hanging out in the museum.
Josh, did you collect Zippos?
Loaded and ready to go. I had one Zippo as a kid. I had one Zippo.
Put it in the pocket of my Jenko jeans. Plenty of room.
It fell out through the sleeve. And so Max,
you just
like,
painted the most beautiful 90s portrait I could have ever expected.
Good, yeah.
Well, then the best thing is that so Max is like, "Oh, I'm going to show off. I'm going to light the candle." They're like, "Don't do it, you dummy." He's like, "Well, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen." This is like after they're like, "If you're an 18-year-old virgin, you're going to unleash witches for a full night of terror and death." He's like, "Nah, it's
you're
not going to happen."
18? What are you talking about?
Isn't that what they say? Like, if you're 18 years old and still a virgin.
If you are the consenting age.
If you could sign this paper.
Was there no age limit on it? Was it just if you're a virgin?
Yeah, you have to be a virgin.
Then there is an incredible alternate reality where they merged the 40-year-old virgin with Hocus Pocus, and that's the sequel. That would be very funny to have the 40-year-old virgin.
There was a lot of shows. Remember on TLC, there was a show about all those adult virgins?
Oh, yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
It happens.
It does happen. You know,
sure,
sometimes
absolutely. I say more.
Life gets away from you. Life gets away from you.
Zero judgment.
So made out of fat people or something. It's like made out of men's fat.
It was made out of. I believe it was made out of the hangman's fat. I believe, like the executioner.
More hangings.
I thought it was a hanged man. So it could have been anyone, but it was the hangman. I get it.
I don't know. It could have been anyone. I thought it was the hangman. Maybe I'm still just hung up on the fact that you see the hangman after he's executed the Sanderson sisters earlier in the movie. He's
the Sanderson sisters?
He's walking away from them and he looks like, "I did my job, but I don't feel good about it." Like, there's like sort of this resignation.
That's probably how you feel as a hangman, no?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. You got to have a certain constitution to do the job, I expect.
Yeah.
Either way, Max outs himself as a virgin by lighting the black flame candle and bringing witches back to life. Mm-hmm. And so there is now this running gag throughout the movie of like, "You're a virgin who can't drive." Like, I didn't realize that this was going to be a runner throughout Hocus Pocus. Was just
were
like people like dragging Max for being a virgin. No, I thought it was pretty funny, actually. I did think it was kind of funny.
No, but like,
genuine.
If you were a
so
kid, like,
right
did
now.
You know why this was funny?
I don't think I understood it.
Yeah. There's some jokes in this that, like, you don't really understand if you're a kid.
It's for the
like,
parents.
Yeah. They do a good job making this funny for the adults.
Yeah. The adults.
Yes.
Here they are, though. It's Winnie, it's Mary, it's Sarah. They're back. They're here. They're ready. And like all sorts of hijinks are now going to be happening because this is the bulk of the movie, right? The Sanderson sisters are back. They need to continue drinking the essence of a young child in order to reclaim their youth. But
they have to do it by sunrise.
They got until sunrise. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. Do we have power rankings for the Sanderson sisters, or are they just all iconic?
No, I mean, I think Winifred is obviously like the most powerful.
Yeah.
Like she, I mean, the book like responds to her, you mm-hmm. know, she's the one doing all the spells. Obviously the sisters are, you know, subservient.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So she's,
and they have their own special powers. Yeah. Yeah.
But how about in terms of enjoyment?
I was always troubled by Mary's behavior. I was like, I don't know, because I was like, a vacuum cleaner? What if that gets stuck?
Hey, listen.
And it did.
When I was looking at that, I was like, those brooms do not have a lot of support. You know what has support? A vacuum cleaner. I would take my big Mary ass and put that on a vacuum cleaner.
That's
because I don't
fair,
trust
actually.
The broom. Okay?
It's probably more comfortable.
I would ride, for my weight concerns, I would ride the vacuum cleaner for myself. For myself, I would absolutely choose the vacuum cleaner. Because I think that I'd break a broom.
Who's brooming is going to be Emily.
Yeah. In fact, y'all have two vacuum cleaners. Me and Lee need the vacuum cleaners.
We need a supportive, maybe a Hoover, a Dyson.
Have any Dysons available? Any flying Dysons?
And I just take the Swiffer and I'm on my way.
Oh, Emily.
There you go.
To be Emily Fox. To be Emily Fox.
Listen.
Unbelievable.
No, I think I always liked Sarah Jessica Parker in this role, and I don't think of her as like a separate entity in any of her other acting gigs other than as Carrie Bradshaw. Like even in like
fair.
Movies
well,
like where she
Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, so you have a different sort of introduction of her. I mean, she was in a ton of stuff in the 80s, but this was like my first real go around with her as like a star in a movie, right? Mm. So I always thought of her as the witch, and then all of a sudden she came out in Sex and the City, and so I've always just been like, yeah, she's either Sarah Sanderson or she's Carrie Bradshaw.
Sure.
And it's very hard to separate her in other roles, like, you know, she's in like what's that movie with Matthew McConaughey, like Failure to Launch, and you're like, that's Carrie Bradshaw with straight hair instead of curly hair.
Like, what's a great movie starring SJP? Failure to Launch.
Yeah,
listen, sometimes that's like a good thing to like, I don't know. It does have Terry Bradshaw in it, which might have been confusing.
That is confusing.
It is confusing. I'm confused.
But Terry I always liked
the funk's
her.
On me.
I always thought she was funny because she's sort of the sexy sister out of the witches.
Sure, but she's the dumb sexy one.
Right, but she has great comedic timing in it, like her lucky rat tail, and like she always wants to play with everyone. Like she's like, "Can I just play with him?
Let me play with him."
Yeah. So I really enjoyed her character, and then of course the song—it's so iconic.
I know
the song
it's
is iconic. Come, little children, all over the world.
What the hell? That's not
come
how it
to
goes.
My secret garden.
He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, take
all
it down, Buble.
I know, right?
I'll show you the world.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's close, right?
But, like,
That's like Aladdin. I'll show you the world.
No, I can show you the world. I'm telling you, I will show you
he
the
will.
World.
He will.
Okay.
Yeah, like, how good did that look for a movie in the early 90s, her fly?
I think
like,
it looks
that
good.
Looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see any strings anywhere. And I know she was, like, airborne for the
good.
Movie.
Yeah.
The effects are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so
they hold up well. It's not like when you watch Ghost and you're like, oh boy.
Come on.
It's a Disney movie with a budget of $28 million,
wow.
which is not a lot.
What's that in today's money?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That's the thing. It was probably a lot for 1993.
$190 million in today's money.
Yeah.
Especially for like an original story, which doesn't exist anymore in
Disney
world.
That's true. It's a good point. So, you know, they did a good job here. The sisters get into all sorts of hijinks as they're trying to find the kids, plus Thackeray Binks, who's now part of the crew. He's like, hey, come with me, everybody this way. And they're like, you're a talking cat and this is pretty effed up.
But he's like, I'm gonna figure out how to explain this to you guys. Like, they're like, after guys, you took the freaking book.
You took the book.
Way to go, Max.
I'm 300 years old. You're a virgin. You stole the book. You lit the thing. You brought hell and high water upon all of us. And then the sisters are running around like, where's the book? Where's the book? Sisters!
Oh, my God.
And they're
God.
Looking for the book, and they're looking for the kids, and it takes them on the pervert, like, bus.
The pervert bus.
The
pervert bus.
Zachary Binks very briefly. They run over the manhole cover that what's his face is hiding under. Billy the zombie. Who's played by Doug Jones, who you will know from many Guillermo del Toro movies.
He's like all the scary people. Jones?
Don't think so.
Disappointing.
I think there's a lot of Joneses out there, including a lot of Doug Joneses out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of Doug Joneses.
He's the Doug Jones. Know? He's the Doug Jones.
Our cat.
Yeah, our cat is named Dougie Jones, based on the character Dougie Jones from Twin Peaks: The Return. Doug Jones, not to be confused with a politician. This Doug Jones is like a prolific creature actor and stunt person.
He's a creature actor?
He is a series. Yeah.
Can you break that down?
Yeah, he's a creature actor.
Does it say that on his resume?
So The Shape of Water, the Guillermo del Toro movie, you know, the creature at the heart of it, that's Doug Jones. That's Billy. Billy the Zombie. You know, Pan's Labyrinth, that's him. He's the Pan, he's the creature there.
He's the Pan and the Labyrinth.
He's not the Labyrinth. He's do you know that monster with the eyes on his hands? That's him. Done a lot of this stuff. He's really, really great. He was the Silver Surfer.
You might say that he finds himself comfortable as a creature.
Creature
comforts.
You could say that if you want. He's Saru on Star Trek Discovery. He's in a ton of stuff.
Good Jones.
It was really fun to like when Billy sprung to life. I was like, okay, so who plays him? Oh, Doug Jones. That's really fun. He does a great job. He's just like his like physical comedy is really awesome. Definitely the best character in the movie, and it's really not close.
Yeah.
So he gets run over. The cat gets run over. The cat's fine. The sisters go to Satan's house. Which AKA, is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. What is happening?
That was not that part was not for children.
Gary Marshall is the devil.
Yeah, I love that Penny Marshall and Gary Marshall play a married couple rather than brother and sister in real life.
It's so very upsetting. Weird. The whole thing is very strange. Everything that's happening at the Devil's Den is very confusing and weird. They go to the rock concert. Sure.
The parents are out being irresponsible.
Good for them,
And so at this point in the movie, like, I'm really in. I'm like, I get it. I understand why, like, everyone loves this movie. This is a really taut thriller. This is a movie that's it's really well-paced. the dialogue is good. It's very punchy. There's jokes for the adults. Okay. There's legitimate, like, good creature effects and scares.
Sure.
And then they had to do the music number.
He doesn't like it.
Disagree. The music number is the best part.
Oh, I hated it.
Josh is so upset by it. I was cringing the whole way through it.
I cringed so hard.
How could you?
Oh, I cringed real hard.
Oh, Josh.
It was tough. It was hard for me.
I'm hurt by that.
I know, right? This kid loves a musical. Never met a musical he didn't like.
It was a little hard for me. Like, there were musicals I don't like. They definitely exist, and this was just like, you know, in this movie that was otherwise like, oh, this movie's like actually like kind of scary and messed up, and then they're just like, I'll put a spell on you.
That part's incredible.
I just didn't love it.
You're offending us.
I think
it's fine. It's fine.
You're in the minority here.
It's fine. I accept my position here in being an outsider by being the ice of the podcast at this point.
I can shave that into the back of your hair if you want. Yeah, I'm really good at cutting hair.
She can.
So she kept, by doing the song, she casts a spell that forces all the adults in town to dance forever, which is horrifying. Because I just imagine myself in that. I imagine myself in that position, and like if I were to be like dancing on the rare opportunity that I chose to dance, like I got pressured into doing it, and then the spell got cast. Now I'm dancing forever.
No, they leave.
I mean, yeah, because the witches die.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Is that the worst spell you could think of?
I think there are worse spells. Yeah. Personally, I'm starting to think through what you could use as a spell and what kind of harm you could cause.
Sure.
Dancing seems pretty okay.
Yeah, it's pretty PG.
I mean, it would be bad if it was like bad music. Yeah. That's a worse spell.
You have to dance to Nickelback.
Yeah. Never made it as a wise man. No!
How do you dance to this?
Look at this photograph.
Yeah.
Every time it makes me dance.
That was the original version. They changed it.
It's a nightmare.
I don't know if this will appeal to our fan base as much.
So we're trying to go for a broad demographic here.
Laughter is better than dancing.
So they kill the witches for a time, right? They burn them alive.
They killed them.
They put them.
They didn't kill them. They killed them.
They killed them. They vaporized the witches.
Yeah.
The witches are vaporized
for
and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's for like, at least it
but
seems
through
like
the law
an
of
hour.
Physics and witchcraft.
Yeah, I like don't, yeah, I never understood that.
Nah. It seems like it was for a time that this happened. So that goes down and they're like, okay, we did it. Thackeray Binks, I know that you're still a cat and immortal, but like, you can live with us. And Danny's like, and when I have kids, my kids will take care of you and their kids will take
it's
care of you.
It's a very Tuck Everlasting
and
moment.
And Thackeray Binks is just like, my life is going to continue forever.
He's purring. He seems happy.
He seems fine. He
well, yeah, they take
out.
Like a one-hour nap.
They take a little,
which I think is...
Love a nap.
And it was necessary in this.
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
So they go for a snooze. Mm-hmm. Max and Allison cuddles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You think he touched a yabo? I do.
I'm not here to speculate.
I do.
I'm sure he would have liked to.
After asking consent.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course. Is this okay?
What a little... Gosh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ew. Way to make it weird.
I don't know.
You made it weird.
What a pervert.
Sorry.
Total pervert.
They wake up and they're like, yeah, let's make Thackeray Binks, like, let's save him. And so what's their plans, like, if they're going to reverse the curse without his consent, speaking of, are they, like, going to turn him back into a human all of a sudden who's now going to be, like, human-sized in bed with Danny? Like, that's uncomfortable.
Do you think he would
have? Or are they going to, like, reverse the curse so that, like, they're removing his agelessness? He dies on the spot?
Yeah.
That's going to be also uncomfortable for Danny.
So the fact that they accidentally, like, not only, like, the fact that they accidentally, the witches are resurrected, they're back alive, and then, like, they see, like, the big beacon in the sky because they've opened the book, like, they bought that.
Yeah,
you know, they
yeah.
bought that. They got what they bought, mm-hmm. for sure.
Absolutely. And what were they doing? They were looking through, like, C for cat, C for cat, C for cat. Like, what are you looking for? How do you know what you're looking for?
Yeah.
So.
Do you think if Binks came back as in human form, would he still be wearing like a billowy white shirt?
100%.
Yeah, would he be in like NCIS mode now.
He'd have a goatee.
Yeah,
Timothy McGee.
Yeah, a Timothy McGoatee.
I'd like to rebrand.
He has a sweet tail, you know.
So the witches are back and they come and they try and they kidnap Danny and they take the book. And Allison, quick thinking with the salt, she's like, I've got iodized salt here. Mm-hmm. You can't penetrate my salt shield. And they're like, ooh, can I go? and then they fly away on their brooms and vacuum. And they try to like, they try to lure all the kids in town.
Sure.
Because they're like, oh, we'll drink all these little children up.
Stealing
and be
costumes, no parents.
Like, how young are they talking at that point? They're like going full Benjamin Butts.
The younger, the better.
Definitely Benjamin Butts, B Butts.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to drink all the essences of these kids. And
Hocus P and B Butts.
And we're going to turn into babies.
Yeah.
It's an interesting theory, but like, then you're going to be at the whim of all of the police who descend upon Salem and are like pieced together what happened.
Except for that one fake cop.
Oh yeah, the fake cop is going to come and save the day.
Yeah, he is.
The fake
I was like, whoa, easy. Yeah.
I always remember him going, thought I was a real cop.
Oh, I guess he's the one who crushes Billy's fingers, I believe.
Oh yeah, you're right.
You may be correct.
More shenanigans afoot. Max and Allison come up with the brilliant plan to convince the witches into thinking that it's now daylight time because of daylight savings time, bitches.
Yeah.
That's like what Max says. And then they're like, oh no, daylight savings time. Oh God. And so like they react to that.
Yeah. And they're
as if
like
it's a
dying,
thing. There is this weird thing where the movie like tries to have its cake and eat it too with like the collision of
cake.
Like
sure.
Coming you from the 1690s cake. To 1993, you know, and then like there's times where like they're very hip to what's going on in 1993. Like Winnie really catches on really quickly to what it means to be a police officer who pulls people over. She's like, can I get your learner's permit, please?
I guess I didn't even notice that part.
Mary's really good at using a TV remote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She tries to turn off the
devil.
She
was eating Jack's. Did you notice she was eating Jacks?
Yeah.
Is that
nice,
right?
Nice big fat bowl of them.
A fat pack of Jacks.
A fat pack of Jacks.
Yada, yada, yada. Yabba, yabba, yabba. They get the witches to a graveyard. Billy is like, actually, guys, let me cut my mouth strings open. Let me cut my lemon strings open. I'm cool. Yeah. I'm not a bad zombie. He's like, sweet, help us out. He's like, yeah, I'm going to help you guys.
I always think about the moth coming out of his mouth,
too. Oh, it's so upsetting. Imagine
that. It's really upsetting.
One, because remember we tried to watch the Mothman one time and I had to cower in a corner. Two, how is it they just join the crew so fast? Like, they're like, oh, you're a good zombie? Yeah, this can't be bad. Come on in.
Like, yeah, what? They just let him in. I think it's desperation, Lee. At this point, they're like, you know, time's running
desperation
out.
Desperation is a stinking,
and right now,
rotting
they really
body.
Just need, yeah, really, like, they just need to run the clock. They need to run the clock. They need to run the clock because the clock is ticking, tick-tock, and they have to wait until daylight. And there's like a big standoff where Winnie's like, I've got your sister. And he's like, I got your potion. And he drinks it. And she tries to drink him. But daylight comes and she turns into stone. That's the noise she makes, which is very good. Very good.
Yeah, good fox.
Great. Thanks.
And then
thank
Sarah
you.
And Mary. Sarah's on her broom. She goes, uh-oh, time to go. And she blows up. And then Mary's on the vacuum. And she goes, bye-bye.
She sounds like our cat.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Lola.
That's the voice we give for our cat.
Sure.
So they explode, and then the entombed in stone Winnie also explodes. Mm. And so the heroes have won, except poor Thackeray Binks, the cat, like got like hurled across the graveyard at one point and slammed into a headstone.
Yeah.
And that killed him. That seemingly was like, that's enough. That's going to do it. And then like his ghost is like, oh, don't be too upset. I'm right over here on my way to a promising career as an NCIS investigator.
I didn't see that. I thought like the second the witches were done, I thought it had nothing to do with being slammed. I thought it was like witches are dead. He's now dead because, you know, he's 300 years old.
You're probably correct.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
My interpretation's a little bleak.
Really bleak.
Either way, Thackeray Binks and Emily are reunited in the spirit
we are.
Realm. Emily's got a one-way ticket to NCIS New Orleans.
Yeah, she does.
For one episode only.
I can't believe you met him.
I can't believe you didn't tell me.
What was he like?
He was a very nice guy.
He seems like he'd be a nice guy.
He seemed really nice.
And you didn't even ask him anything about Hocus Pocus.
I didn't know. I didn't realize.
It's really embarrassing.
I didn't do my research. That was a bad job by me.
Unbelievable.
Do you see how I'm sitting right now? I'm like upset.
So
I know.
Mad
I'm
right
sorry.
Now. You call yourself a journalist?
I really shouldn't, but sometimes I do.
You really pinks this up.
Well, that's it, right? So the Binkses walk off and we're done. And I have this thought as the movie is ending. In my mind, I'm thinking,
cries at this?
Well, no. I will say, to your point earlier, Lee, Emily was bawling.
Oh, no doubt. I just told you about the Notebook.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These were like Notebook level tears. These were like Notebook grade tears. Emily was crying.
Listen, it's just something I do. We got to get over it.
It was big time. It was pretty legitimate.
Okay.
And then I had this thought of like, man, this town is like really going to have to like do some soul searching and recovery in the wake of everything that's just gone down.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what that's going to look like. And then there's like all these credit scenes. It's like, oh, this is nice.
The parents coming out.
The parents are exhausted. The parents are like, what just happened?
The show.
What's just going on here?
Thought LA was a party town.
Yeah, that's right. Jay and Ice are just chilling in the cages singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And then the book just like winks at you. It's like, yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'll be here for Hocus Pocus 2.
I'm waiting.
So there you go. That's Hocus Pocus. That's Hocus Pocus. Why don't we head to the lobby?
All right.
And see what people had to say about Hocus Pocus.
Yeah,
a lot of chatter from around the community.
Mm-hmm.
This came community from Susie chatter. Perez, who really enjoyed the first episode of this podcast. Susie said, I loved getting to know the Emily and Josh origin story, and I'm really looking forward to Hocus Pocus. It's on my top five Halloween movie
Sorry.
List.
It's just so romantic.
Susie says Hocus Pocus top five Halloween movies.
Okay,
do you concur?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the scary ones, so yeah, absolutely.
What else would make it on the list?
Casper?
The actual Halloween. The actual Halloween has to be on here.
Too scary. Well,
No, it's too scary.
Halloween 2. Halloween 2. The great John Krause writes in and says, I think it's a very fun movie that holds up after 27 years. I'm very curious to hear about it from someone who has no experience with it, but I think it has a tight script and pretty good performances from its young cast.
I'd agree.
Any good townie movie needs good townie characters, and this one has a bunch. I love the bullies.
Totally. Yeah, the bullies are great.
100%. 100%. This is also from John Krause, who just said, what exactly the frick was going on in that Satan house?
Which is such a fair question. So upsetting. And how do you feel about his gloves? His gloves are really upsetting. Where did he have those?
The whole thing is really messed up. Not okay.
I think people got chocolate in places one should never get chocolate. The probably, Clark bars.
Yeah. Severely uncool. Severely uncool.
Gotta get out of there.
Ted wrote in and said, I'm very excited about becoming a Potion Recaps patron. Big fan. I look for the consistent entertainment you provide. Thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
Ted writes, I'm not a big fan of is Hocus Pocus.
Oh,
the first film you selected is the film that haunted me throughout my young childhood.
See, Ted.
Bette Midler
I'm
as
right
Winifred.
There. With you.
Was my Freddy Krueger or my Jason.
Wow.
So I guess it's a good thing we're not doing Freddy versus Jason.
Bette Midler as Winifred was my Freddy Krueger or my Jason.
Yeah. I get it.
That
I
is such
it.
A statement.
Yeah.
I'm with Ugh. You. I'm 100% with you. It was terrifying. I get it. I get it. And don't be afraid. Be proud of that.
Yeah.
All right?
Ted adds...
We've come so far.
Ted says, she was what I was afraid would pop out of my closet at night.
Yep.
Was
mm-hmm.
Winnie.
Mm-hmm.
With a group of other kids and parents, my mom took 5-year-old me to this in theaters, and shortly after the witches were hung, she was taking her sobbing son out of
theater. Oh, no!
I've never gone back to watch the whole thing, but thanks to Post Show Recaps,
really upsetting
I have
morning.
To face these demons head on. Ted, I hope it was okay.
Yeah.
We love you, Ted. We're thinking of you.
It is like a hard start.
So sorry.
In life, that is a hard start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard start.
So that was tough. Right before the recording, Connor K wrote in with his review of the movie. Connor says, overall, this film felt peak early to mid 90s Disney. It's nonsensical, pointless, albeit with a tremendous cast, scenery, and a kind of fun story to go with it. I can see why it's loved and appreciated, while I also don't love it myself.
Okay.
Halloween isn't always my jam, but for anyone who loves Halloween, I can totally see why it's so popular. I mean, hey, it was the leader in the box office here in the U.S. this past week, and clearly still a hit.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's the chatter in the lobby.
That's some good chatter. I'd like to know, out of the whole movie, who's your favorite character in all
well,
of the
Well, Lee, oh my goodness. Do you not have the gift, the psychic ability, Lee? Because we've reached the point where I'd like everybody to tell me who your MVP of this movie was.
All right.
We're all going to give an MVP, and then we're going to give an LVP. Who's the MVP of this movie? Emily Fox, how about you? You go first.
I would say the MVP of this film is probably Danny. Mm-hmm.
Danny. Dora
sure.
Birch.
Because she trusts her instincts.
Yeah.
She didn't want to go into the museum. She was like,
doesn't.
This isn't safe. I'm here trying to trick or treat, have mm-hmm. a good time, make some new friends in
Get
this new
sugar.
Town. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It's upsetting.
Come on. Yeah, it is upsetting.
Lee, who's your MVP of this movie?
I think I'm going to have to go with Angelo the Lobster from the...
Angelo.
from the back of that restaurant.
Wow.
Because who names a lobster Angelo? And I feel good about it.
All right.
That's my MVP. Did he get eaten that day? We don't know.
We don't know. He said, come on, take a bet. Come on to the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
It's possible they were just pampering Angelo.
It's possible. I mean, he could still be alive now. I don't know about the lifespan of lobsters, but, you know, I feel good about it.
I think they live a shockingly longer life than we give them credit for.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I gotta give it to Thackeray Binks. I just said like Thackeray Binks.
Thackeray
He's
Binks.
He was alive for 300 years. He didn't need any resurrection spell to come back.
Okay.
So I gotta give it to Thackeray Binks. He also kind of gets the kill move, right?
Sure.
Like he runs up the tree.
Mm-hmm.
He sprints across the branch.
Yeah.
He dive bombs Winnie.
Mm.
So I'll give it to Thackeray. I think Thackeray also as a name deserves an MVP. All right, LVPs. Absolutely. I'll start. Although this is tough. I don't know who to give an LVP point to.
I have mine.
I guess I'll give it to Ice. You know, who shaves ice in their head and says, and just because you're ashamed that your name is Ernie, Ernie's a good name. He's like, don't call me Ernie, man. It's Ice.
Yeah. Wow.
So okay. I'm going to give it to Ice.
Because you're upset he's not using his proper name of Ernie?
Yeah, I think it's among the reasons. And also the thievery, the theft of poor Max.
The thievery,
shoes.
Yeah.
Oh,
thievery.
You know what? I probably should have given the LVP to Max, if I'm being honest.
Wow. That's a bold choice.
Wow, he saved the day.
Yeah, but you know what? And I'm reversing course. I'm giving my LVP to Max Dennison.
I don't think you can do that.
I just did. I've gone back. I'm giving the LVP to Max Dennison because none of this would have happened if he hadn't if he was showing off for Allison and he caused so much chaos.
Sure. Mm. Sure.
The town of Salem is going to be sending him a big bill.
Yeah. As well they should.
He's going to be grounded for life.
Do you think Binks is spelled B-I-N-K-S?
No, it's B-I-N-X.
Yeah, 100%.
B-I-N-X. No, I know. I'm just calling Josh out on him spelling it that way.
I'm just typing. Emily, this is not... Emily...
What?
You know, no one can see that.
X marks the spot.
Yeah, come on.
No one needs to know. Lee, who's the LVP?
As someone who has a last name that ends with an X, I would just like you to appropriately...
Wait, your last name is... spelled with an X? Oh. I've been spelling it wrong this whole time.
F-O-C-K-S.
Yeah. Actually, I thought it was F-O-Q-S. Lee, who's got the LVP from you?
All right, I'm going Allison.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I'm going Allison. First
Drag
of all,
her.
Why are you trying to mess around in the Sanderson house on Halloween if you're supposedly believing in all this shit?
That's true.
Second of all, if you knew about the salt early on, why didn't you get a bunch of that? Like, why did it take so long for you to figure that out? If it's just
she should have like a knapsack filled with salt.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you doing? And then, not to bring it back to Angelo, but I will because you know he's my MVP. She opens that old ass oven in the back, making it loud, making noise.
Come on, you
can do better.
You bring up interesting.
And
points.
I think she should have called him on the yabos. You know,
yeah,
I understand it was the 90s, but hey, don't talk about me like that.
Yeah, that's right, Allison. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe she and Max were, you know, they were clicking.
I don't care if they were vibing, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to say. I don't want to shame.
Okay.
I don't want to shame.
All right.
M-Fox, LVP.
The skeleton lead singer.
Oh, of the band?
He's
that's
so salty.
A good LVP.
Yeah. He's like really upset and he doesn't take it seriously. And
hey, this is my night.
Yeah, and like good I understand being yeah, like I understand him being interrupted and like thrown off a little when you're doing a set. Like that makes sense. But like maybe take a moment to take stock
cool,
of what's being
bro.
Communicated.
Be yeah. Cool.
Does it
so
say
salty.
Something that none of the Sanderson sisters ranked either way? MVP or LVP? What does it tell us?
That they were excellent.
Yeah. I mean, they were great. I mean, they're certainly not your heroes. But they're certainly not your zeros.
Yeah. They're your sheroes.
They are your sheroes. They're the sheroes we all need. They're the sheroes we need in 2020.
Yeah, eating children. Definitely something to work towards.
Let's talk about heroes and zeros. Let's rate the movie on a scale of 0 to 10. I want everyone to give a score for Hocus Pocus. Mm. Emily Fox, who last night repeatedly declared, see, it's a perfect movie.
I did say that.
Multiple times.
10 out of 10. That.
So I think like just to be true to who you were last night, I would expect a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're giving it?
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Perfect movie. Anything further to add to that? Or it's just like, that's a flat 10.
It's a flat 10.
Flat 10.
All right.
That sounds really unappealing.
Flat 10.
A flat 10.
I prefer a bubbly 10. A carbonated 10.
A percolating 10.
Lee, what would you give this movie?
All right. So I'm giving it like 7.75.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Great movie.
And if you're thinking,
scared me as a child, so I'm taking off some points. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like great one-liners. I am a sucker for a good one-liner. Mm-hmm. There's an animal in there, specifically a cat. Love cats. All right. I feel
big fan. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I can't get mad at some beautiful haircuts. So I'm saying yes, but I wish that it hadn't terrified me so as a child.
That's fair.
Josh, what about you?
I'm not terribly far from that. I think I'm going to give it like a 7, mm-hmm. a 7 out of 10. Okay. I think it's a fair Hocus Pocus score. I recognize
Are we rating this on a Canadian grading system or United States grading system?
A fair question that Emily asked.
Canadian, definitely Canadian.
Whatever.
Okay, so that means it's like an A.
Whatever it is in your heart.
It's an A.
Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez. This is horrible.
As Josh is like, this is a mistake.
No.
Patrons, I'm so
mistake.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Wants to do a podcast with his wife, who he sees every day, all day.
All day.
Never can get away.
Never can get away.
I give this movie a
Josh
7
is
out of 10.
Crying.
He's so upset.
I give this movie a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. All right.
Okay. I give this movie a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it's a very good movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great movie. I think it's an excellent Halloween movie.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I bet I would rate this higher for nostalgia if I had any, but mm-hmm. I don't. But I thoroughly
nothing.
Enjoyed watching it. I got nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing. In fact, I kind of want to dock it a little bit more. I think I'm going to give it a 6.7.
Wow.
6.75. I'm going to go.
Because 6. I just sang about how you can't get away from
it's
me.
It's because of your behavior.
I'm so sorry.
I'm docking this movie due to your behavior.
I did. It was because of that.
Wow.
All right. Well, we got to scout what is coming up in the future. So next week, Lee, Emily, and I are going to be joined by the great Kevin Mahadeo talking about Scream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's next. So everybody, you got a week to watch Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Send in your questions, josh@postshowrecaps.com, or use the Discord, the patron Discord. But we want to look ahead past Kevin so that we can give everybody enough time to vote on the movie in the podcast that will follow the Scream podcast. So
sure.
I'm going to make a choice. Emily's going to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, we want a mystery pick. If you want to give us some clues, lock in your thing. We don't want to know what it is though.
I got it.
All right. And also, it is my great pleasure to reveal that, Lee's favorite podcaster in the Post Show Recaps Network, LaTanya Starks, will be our guest.
The
podcast following Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And LaTanya was like, all right, so what are, like, I can only select one? I was like, yeah, that's how this works. I was like, you gotta pick. It's you know, a movie that it doesn't have to be a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this is Halloween month, it's spooky month, but anything that fits that description for you.
Sure.
So LaTanya has gone old school.
Okay.
And has gone, with an unconventional pick given the season, a 1962 film.
Ooh.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? Starring Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
Bette Davis.
Wow.
Betty Davis?
Bette Davis.
I bet you I've never said Betty Davis until just now.
I mean, it's fair. You were just talking about Bette Midler, so we'll give you that.
You know?
Betty Midler?
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? And LaTanya's justification for that was, let's introduce some old school studio system chaos.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Is LaTanya's pick. Emily Fox, what do you got?
Mm. Poltergeist 2.
Oh my God.
Literally the scariest film I've ever seen in my life.
Mm, not gonna
Poltergeist
watch that.
Poltergeist 2.
Ever.
Yeah. You should not watch it. It will haunt your dreams.
You don't even have to keep saying that. I will watch it.
We're just gonna bypass the first Poltergeist and skip straight to 2?
Makes sense. Checks
the
out.
The second one is so much scarier.
It does
than
have
the first
Mr. Kane, who is
Mr.
the
Kane
scariest
is the
person.
Scariest character of all time.
He's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, can't wait to send you a clip of him later.
Oh God,
I hope you're.
You're
talking
all
to Josh.
Gonna die.
No,
yeah,
I'm not gonna watch it. I refuse. I'm gonna X out of your chat, Emily.
Here. Oh no, don't leave. I think.
Oh, don't leave.
If you're too afraid to watch Poltergeist 2, might I recommend the E! True Hollywood Story behind Poltergeist?
Oh, I've already seen that.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what I'm talking
about.
There's
a lot that went down between the Poltergeists.
It's kind of like a true crimey thing, so I've obviously seen it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fine line. Right.
Yeah, there is murder involved.
Sure. So there's a movie that we've been talking about a lot on the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. So people have
Jurassic
already watched
Park.
This movie. It's not Jurassic Park, not this time.
Jurassic Park 2?
It's a movie that people have already been watching.
Okay.
And I hope that the conversation isn't stale if we end up going this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen this movie in a very long time. Mm-hmm. I want to talk Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's a good one. Another one that scared me as a child.
Yep, I saw that at my aunt's house.
Beetlejuice scared the shit out of me.
Oh my gosh, yes. Terrified of Beetlejuice.
Terrified.
Okay, I watched it at my aunt's house, came home, told my parents I watched it and that I couldn't sleep that night, and let me tell you, Susu got in trouble.
Oh, Susu.
I bet so.
She got in very big trouble.
Johan ripped her a new one.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure that that was not a quiet, peaceful conversation.
All right,
between
so Beetlejuice is on the menu. Lee, you have a mystery item that shall remain covered until next week when we reveal whether or not we're watching it.
We ask
we'll
for
talk
three
about
clues.
It either way.
Three clues.
Give us up to three clues, as vague as you want or as specific as you want.
Okay. So I guess clue
a
number
boy
one.
Boy ghost.
Boy George. clue number one, it's a non-traditional pick with a witchy element, but not scary.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. It's okay. From
It's Bewitched.
It's Bewitched, starring Will Ferrell.
One guess is in case you get it. He's like, shit, I have to change my pick.
The second clue is it's from the great year of 1989.
Ooh, okay. It is a good year.
Yeah, all right.
And the third
thing
I like that.
Is there's a surprise rap in the middle of it.
Okay, I love a good surprise rap.
Yeah.
This makes me want to vote for it.
I don't, off the top of my head.
I'm going to think about this.
We'll see if people, know what's going on. No cheating. So there you go. These are the items on the menu.
I think I know what it is.
There's Beetlejuice. There's Poltergeist 2. Mm-hmm. There's Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And then there's Lee's mystery item, which will be revealed one way or the other next week. So plenty of ways to get your vote in. You can email me, josh@postshowrecaps.com. Mm-hmm, you can hit us up online on Twitter @RoundHoward, @Emilet. We'll count those votes as well. We also have a poll in the Discord, so you can vote in the poll in the Discord. And we're also posting polls on our patreon.com/postshowrecaps website that you can vote there. We will tally the results from all across the land. Obviously, it's fairly informal. I just want to make sure you got plenty of channels.
I mean, you had percentages.
Vote.
I was pretty impressed by that.
You did like an accumulation of everything
that I saw
come through.
Math
chart.
Yeah. I'm just rigging the vote so that I get
a line graph, please.
Pretty clear. If you want more Lee McLaren in your ears, you ought to be listening to the Pen 15 podcast.
Yeah.
Where Lee is with us every week talking about what middle school was like in the early aughts. It ought to be awkward each and every week.
Wow.
Yeah, Emily started to strike back at me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I can't be thrown under the bus every time.
Yeah. But you come back, you bounce back like Thackeray Binks, Emily.
Thank
it's always
you.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
It was good, right? It was good.
So
Pen 15 podcasts. Pen 15 podcasts. They're dropping on Sundays. So check that out. It's on the main feed. It's also got its own podcast feed. Give it a listen. We'll be back soon here in the patron feed with another episode of Community Building. Lee, we are currently doing a podcast about the possibility of doing a community podcast.
Oh, a podcast about a podcast?
Yeah, it's
so
a podcast.
Meta. Very meta.
Because
so meta.
A lot of people want us to podcast about community, and we have some terms and conditions that must be met, and we're charting the journey of that.
Sure.
We want to hit 1,000 patrons of Post Show Recaps by the end of 2020. You have until right before the ball drops on the East Coast, December 31st, 2020.
Right before the balls drop. Did you guys hear that?
And you do that, you get there, and if you do it, then we make a community podcast, and if not, it's done. So
done.
Your move, Community Building, comes out on Saturdays, and also there's Watching with Wiggler, which is just me monologuing into a microphone about what I'm watching. That's it.
I walked past the room the other day when he was doing it, and I was like, is this like a little like self-journal?
That's incredible.
Like,
it really is sort of like,
this is what I watch.
It is sort of like a reminder to self, note to self, are you still alive?
Wow.
You know?
So deep, so dark.
Are you still here? Yeah, just like a weekly, like, hey, how you guys doing? It's Monday, it's the start of the week. Mm-hmm. Y'all doing okay? So that's what we were getting into on Watching with Wiggler. So check out any of those shows here on the patron feed. plenty more happening just generally in the post-show recaps universe. We'll be back next week with Scream. Scream is coming up. Lee, do you like Scream?
No.
Doesn't seem like it'd be your movie.
I can't even like eat that movie. Jiffy Pop anymore.
Oh, it is too upsetting. Well, I get upset about it from the like cooking perspective, where I'm like, it's gonna burn. You're gonna burn your house down.
All right, watch out. We'll get there. We'll be back next week. Kevin Mahadeo is gonna be talking Scream with us. We'll be back for another round of Post Show Recaps Theater. Until then, everybody, take care.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to pick up your vacuum cleaners from Coat Check. Next week, we have a real treat for you. It's a Scream, baby! It's Scream, not ice cream.